We know the Lord. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I remember when I was not saved, I just followed a religion. When I was just a kid, I went to my parents. Parents took me to a Catholic school. And all my teachers were priests from Spain. They did not talk to me about Jesus. They told me just be nice, do good works, and who knows, one day God can save you. But I remember that also I met a missionary and he talked to me about Jesus. Then I surrendered my life to be a missionary and we went to Spain, then we went to Venezuela. We are already back in Spain. But I went to Spain because I said one day, a priest came to my country with closed Bible, and they didn't talk to me about Jesus. I'm going to Spain with open Bible and showing them Jesus. And he's wonderful, and we went to Spain 2009, and we started working as a team. And you know the team, my family, Jeff, Andrews, and Diana. And Jeff, for us, is the pioneer. He is also the engineer. The pioneer because he went to Spain, he went to the city of Parla, and he told us, well, we are praying together, this is the place. Then when we arrive, after 4 months, I guess, we just found a place. You just saw it in that DVD, and we start with the church. And the Lord allowed us to open another church, another city. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to know the Lord. Please open your Bibles now in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And there are two things that you can do tonight. That you can listen, really pray for me, since you know I'm gonna preach in English. You just pray for me and also pay attention of every word I'm saying, and don't laugh about it. I was born in Peru, and the only thing I knew was speaking Peruvian. Then when I went to the States, I learned to speak English because in the Tennessean way. Then I went to Spain, and they speak the proper Spanish. Then the Lord moved my heart to go to our heart, to go to Venezuela. And I learned how the people in Venezuela speak Spanish. Then the Lord gave me the opportunity to be in Georgia too, and I learned how to speak, you know, the people from Georgia. So I am quite mixed up. So you pray for me, and that the Lord will use me tonight. And I will preach a message entitled "The Worth of One Soul." The Worth of One Soul. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for being our Lord and our Savior. I pray that tonight you will use me. Thank you for your word. It is the authority in my life. And touch our hearts, Lord, to realize about the need. And again, if somebody is tonight without Jesus, that you can touch this heart. And that people, that person or people will know you as Lord and Savior. Now we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Again, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know the story of this man that had the opportunity to hear about Jesus in the middle of the desert of Gaza. Put in your mind and put in your heart the title of this message, The Worth of One Soul. The Worth of One Soul. Man's nature is centered in himself and not in others. This kind of attitude leads them to think about their own benefit. The unbeliever manifests a love that's only conditional and superficial. The attitude of every Christian must be different. Because the Word of God says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Without any doubt, Jesus' love is for every person on the face of the earth. He understands the worth of one soul. Do we have the same concern? Do we have the same concern? For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count as slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. When I was saved, God put in my heart his love for others. My first concern was my family, my friends, but they rejected me. They were thinking that I was just crazy, out of my mind. But little by little, they were understanding, and they started working, the Lord started working in their own hearts, and half of my family now is saved. My oldest brother rejected me the most. But after waiting for 24 years, praying for him, finally he was saved 4 years ago. The worth of one soul. I communicate with him by internet, and he said, "Brother, I was a wolf before. Now I am a sheep." It's wonderful. Serving the Lord as missionaries is a wonderful job. I don't regret serving him because I can see the value of just one soul. Jefferson Ordinola is a young man that came to our church in Parla with his family. He is very introvert young man. He's afraid of his own shadow. In the beginning, he rejected us. He was asking hard questions and refused to be saved. The good thing in his part was his faithfulness in coming to our church in Parla. One day, he told us that he is a Christian. So my brother, my son David, he says, "Okay, since you are a Christian, I'm going to disciple you." And he says, no, I don't need that. So we continue praying for him. Finally, after a year, his attitude changed. Something happened in his life. He was different. He told us about his new life in Christ because he was saved. And I believe strongly what the Word of God says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Now my son is discipling him. I am teaching him also the Word of God and how to play guitar. He's helping us also in that. And Jefferson is now a good help in many ways. He helped us a lot in the opening of the new church in Colmenar Viejo. If you can see him, you don't give a dime for him. But God changed his life. He's different. He just was baptized 4 months ago. And remember one more time the worth of one soul. The worth of one soul. What is our main ambition and passion in this life? It is a good question. What is our main ambition and passion in this life? It is goal. Is it goal? Is it money? Fame? Popularity? Or is it our passion for souls? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What is Philip doing? He's preaching the gospel to one man in a desert of Gaza. Just one man? Yes, just one man in this place. Do we really understand the worth of one soul? What we can learn about Philip? We all must follow his example in reaching the lost for Christ. I have just two points in my message. Simple ones. Philip was led by the Lord, and Philip was used by the Lord. Philip was led by the Lord. During this time that I'm reading you, Acts 8, during this time, the church in Jerusalem was suffering a great persecution. Even Saul of Tarsus was the enemy of the church in Jerusalem. He was against Christians. So Christians were all scattered abroad. We can see verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I like that. They did not hide. They saw persecution, but they went everywhere preaching the word. Then verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He was obedient to the Lord. That is the reason that Philip was led by the Lord in two ways. And the scripture is telling us. He was led by the Lord through an angel. Can you imagine that? Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Wonderful. Philip was led by the Lord to the mission field for an unusual messenger and to an unusual place unto Gaza, which is desert. Philip was led by the Lord through an angel and also through the Holy Spirit. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. It is wonderful to know the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Philip. We also must be led by the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we go to different churches to report our missionary work, one question that we need to respond most of the time is this. What is the reason that you went to Spain? What is the reason that you went to Venezuela? Why are you back in Spain again? For sure, it is not a hard question to ask a missionary. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. For sure, God wants us together to be led by the Holy Spirit. We as missionaries are not doing any extraordinary job. We are just doing a normal thing to do. Ir por todo el mundo, y predicar el evangelio a toda criatura. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. God put in my heart a desire to go to Spain, and I went. When I was saved, and I started reading Mark 16:15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says, the word of God says, go, and I went. It was no hard for me to understand that. When the Lord says, go, I went. He did the same thing in order to do the missionary work in Venezuela. It is the reason that we are back in Spain again. Oh, Lord, help us to understand the worth of one soul. The worth of one soul. Talking about Philip being led by the Lord, he did not complain about the place where he was sent. That proves his total dependency on the Holy Ghost. It is a matter of obedience and not convenience. Working in Spain is just like working in a desert place. You may say, what are you talking about? There are 45 million people in Spain. I'm talking in the spiritual way. There are 45 million people in this country, but still Spain is the least evangelized country, the least evangelized Spanish-speaking country in the world. In the world. They just believe in what they can see and touch. One day when I went on visitation with one of the members of our church, Juan Ordinola, I told him, you know, there are right there in the corner, there are seven young men. Let's go and talk to them about Jesus. And I started to talking with one of the boys. All of them were laughing and rejecting. And one of them, he told me, I prefer to believe in the satanic Bible than in the Bible that you preach to us. Pastor Blake, I never heard in my entire life about a satanic Bible. If this young man was reading that, I asked him why. He said, because your Bible stopped me to do everything that I want to do. The new generation of the Spaniards has rejected being Catholics and embraced atheism and humanism. But God is not finished with the people of Spain. They need Jesus. They don't need religion. For sure, we don't complain working in Spain. It is a privilege to serve the Lord in this needed country. My children also love to work in Spain, serving the Lord, because they can see a great need to reach the lost, the worth of one soul. The worth of one soul. You know the distance between Samaria and Gaza? Approximately, it is 85 miles. Philip did not complain about the place that he was sent in spite of the distance. It is just like between Orlando and Tampa, and you get your car and you can be in 1 hour and a half, if I'm not mistaken, but back those days it was different. He was obedient. His reaction was different than Jonah. We don't need to follow the example of Jonah. Remember, if God is calling you to serve him as a pastor or missionary, just obey and stay in the place of your calling. The more you stay, the more you will love the people. Talking about the people, let's see Philip working in Samaria. Verse 4, therefore that they were scattered abroad, went away, were preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Philip was there in Samaria having a good time. The Lord was using him. And then something happened. Nevertheless, something new happened in the life of Philip. The Lord is giving him a new mission to accomplish in the desert of Gaza. He could say, Lord, what's going on? Everything is good here. There's good result, and you are telling me to go to that place? We need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. God had a purpose to let Philip to go to Gaza to reach just one man in the desert. Just one man in the desert. And also, he did not complain about the kind of people to whom he was sent. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Of course, Philip did not know in the beginning what will be, you know, his first encounter with this man. But when he met the Ethiopian, he was obedient to his calling. The only man that he met was a foreigner. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. This man was from Africa. And he was obedient anyway. But this man was just a religious and confused man that needed to be saved. And God knew about it. The Lord Jesus doesn't make any distinction of people. He does not have any preference for the color of skin, nationality, or social condition of anybody. And our churches in Spain are mixed from different nationalities. People from Colombia, from Brazil, from Ecuador, Romania, Paraguay, Uruguay, North America, Peruvians, and also Spaniards. Amen. And also Spaniards. We know the story of great people after their salvation, how the Lord used them. You can name it. Great Christians in the past. We can see this even today. But what about us? Can we make a difference in the life of the lost? For sure we can. God can use us. My wife had the opportunity to present the gospel to an old lady, Conchita, 85 years old. She got saved. And she has problems in her leg. But she was coming in the beginning to the church. My wife is discipling her. And every time that we go there or she goes there, she cries, Conchita cries, and she said, I wish I can go to the church. I wish I can be there. But I cannot walk. I cannot go to the church. Sometimes, you know, we are in good shape and we prefer to be in other place, but this lady is good example. My daughter Deborah had the opportunity to lead Sandra to Jesus. Sandra is being discipled by my daughter, and she is growing and growing in the Lord. She's good help in the ministry. She is a humble lady, but remember the worth of one soul. The worth of one soul. Pablito Pablito is a young boy, 12 years old. He has a great desire to come to the church. He is the only one in his family that really wants to come to the church. Of course, his family is coming, but I can see in Pablito the desire to know more about Christ. He's lost. I'm helping him with the Word of God, and I'm teaching him to play guitar because it's a way also to reach, you know, souls for Christ in a way. But can you imagine if Pablito received Jesus, our Lord and Savior? The worth of one soul. The worth of one soul. God is giving us the opportunity to reach souls for Christ. I can see leaders today serving the Lord in Spain, serving the Lord in Venezuela. I can think about Alberto Puente. He's a preacher now. He has two sons that they are working now in Spain as missionaries. They are in Sevilla. I think about Arancha, Mary, a missionary, serving the Lord also in Spain. I think about Marcos Milla from Chile, Frank Barrero, Spaniard. He is a leader of his church in Elche, in Spain. I think about Alberto Pereira, in Venezuela. Carlos Arguello, Alberto Sira, Clixon, Carlos Granados. I think about Paco Prada in Spain, Eduardo Sedoski in Spain. All them were lost, but now they are saved, serving the Lord. Some are pastors, missionaries, other active leaders for Christ's sake. Again, remember the worth of one soul. Reading this part of the Bible, we all know the story of this man that was saved in the desert of Gaza. And verse 39, the last part says, "And he went on his way rejoicing." He went on his way rejoicing. Philip was led by the Lord. He was obedient. He had love and compassion for the lost. And also he was used for the Lord and the salvation of one soul in a desert place. Philip was used by the Lord. Bill Fay, a great preacher, he said that evangelism is about experiencing God. If you choose to be obedient, he will take you a journey so exciting that your life will never be the same. Will never be the same. If the Lord can touch our hearts to have love and compassion, if the Lord can use us to lead somebody to Christ, it is the best joy in life. The whole church will be transformed. Your life will be different. You will come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I have a great opportunity. This person is saved. My mother is saved. My friend is saved." It will change your life to have love and compassion. Verse 39, "And he went on his way rejoicing." I want to see that. I want to see that in my Christian life. We base our ministry in the Word of God. We preach Jesus. We don't compromise with the world in order to have more people in our churches in Spain. The Bible is enough. The Word of God is enough. We realize that we are working in a desert place, where the gospel is rejected again and again. Spain is a wonderful place in spite of opposition to the Word of God. Let me tell you good news. Spain is is open door for the gospel. It is open door for the gospel. We are seeing results. We are seeing results. We are involved in personal evangelism. Two months ago, I have the great privilege in my heart to lead the couple to the Lord. I saw them hugging each other, crying. And I was crying also, being glad in my heart. In my way coming to America, I was in the airplane, and a young lady was sat down close to me, and she knew more English than me. She was from Spain, ready to be in the States. I don't know in what part of Spain, because she was ready. She will be married pretty soon. And I had a book about, you know, talking about the family and everything. And I told her, I have this book. I will give to you this book. And she says, no, I don't want those things. I just can do everything in my own way, in my own strength. He rejected the Lord. But I have peace in my heart that I talk to him about Jesus. And I pray that God can use us more and more also in more things that we want to do in the mission field. And we are doing this outreach evangelism by saturating the city of Parla and Colmenar Viejo with Christian information, 50,000 gospel literature and DVDs, 50,000 John and Romans, 50,000 invitations to special service in our churches, 154,000 in total in 4 years. It is an expensive ministry. Also, to reproduce the DVDs that we put in every home talking about Jesus, we spend $20,000. Some may say, what a waste of money, but it is not. We are not expecting to see 2,000 people to come to our church after our distribution, because we know the importance of one soul for Christ. Just one soul for Christ. It will be enough. Remember the worth of one soul. Then we are strong in discipleship. We are constantly discipling people. We are going to one place to another place. People are coming to our church, and we are discipling. My wife is discipling. My son is discipling. Others, Deborah is discipling. And we believe what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing, was all the time with his disciples, teaching them, helping them. And also, we believe strongly in church planting. A church must multiply itself and more churches. That's the reason that we train leaders, that they can, with God's help, go and establish one church here, another church there, and another church there. God is so wonderful. Pray for us. We need you prayers. We need you support. And there are people that need the Lord. I just received good news. My son told me about Carmen, a lady from Spain, coming to our church for 9 months. Finally, Carmen received Jesus as Lord and Savior. When he came to the church, Pastor, the first time, we just fellowship and everything. She heard the word of God, and I say, I will give you Bible if you want. She says, no, I don't need it. But little by little, I'm so glad that Carmen is saved. The worth of one soul. There are still a lot of people without Jesus in Spain. We need to go back. I pray that God will touch our hearts, that we may really all together understand the worth of one soul. The worth of one soul. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present the work in Spain that will be done, Lord. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.